Hi, I'm Lights Camera Jackson with the LCJ Q&A, and I'm joined by the showrunner for DreamWorks Animation's Dawn of the Croods, which is debuting its second season on Netflix, Brendan Hay. Brendan, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me on.
You are welcome. So before getting into animation, you worked at The Daily Show with Jon Stewart and were a writer on one of the Academy Awards that he hosted. Is writing an Oscar show as difficult and exhausting as it sounds?
Yeah. And I was even on the easier team of it. I was just, basically the way it broke down was half of The Daily Show people were just writing as many jokes as we could possibly think of in the lead up to the awards. I was on that team. The other folks were there working 24 hours a day in like the 2 weeks leading up to the actual awards for like the bigger bits and everything like that. So I literally only ended up with one joke on the air, but probably generated dozens of pages of jokes that went nowhere. It really is, you're trying to create as much material as you can possibly have for any moment that might present itself, and then you're just hoping for the best.
Wow, my gosh. Well, you got a joke on the air. That's cool. That's still something proud you can say. Oh, my gosh.
And it made Joaquin Phoenix scowl, so I always can have that for me.
He seems to scowl all the time when the cameras look at him when he's at award shows.
That is the truth.
When it comes to a lot of things. Now, comedy seems to be your forte with The Daily Show, Frank TV, Robot Chicken, and even The Simpsons. Can you believe that The Simpsons is going to hit 600 episodes this fall?
No, I really can't. It's it was almost 10 years ago that I worked with them, and at that point, it was the crazy thing to me of I was like, I think by like 12 when it premiered, so it was a case of like, I loved The Simpsons growing up, and it was so informative to me, so the fact that I got to work, I'm like, man, I can't believe this has been going long enough for me to do that, and now 10 years later, that it's still going strong, and it just blows my mind. I love that it's become an institution, though. That's just, it's such a cool thing to see that every generation kind of can get their chance to be introduced to The Simpsons.
Oh yeah, that's great. So has writing jokes really been a lifelong passion for you?
Yeah, it's been, I'd say my two passions have always been I wanted to write comedy and I wanted to write comic books. And that's weirdly, I think, why I ended up in animation, because it's kind of the melding of the two. Early on, it was like, oh, I'll do some comics, I'll do some late-night comedy. But actually, The Simpsons was my first taste of working in animation, and I just loved it. It was bringing the two sides together. So, yeah, it's just one of those people who always kind of found his outlet in comedy. For all purposes, for emotion, for catharsis, for everything. So I love it.
That's great, yeah. And Dawn of the Croods, of course, is the spin-off series to DreamWorks' 2013 Croods movie, but the events in this show take place before the film. So was that a difficult decision initially going into production to make it a prequel series?
That was actually, when I first got involved with the project, that was the only limit on the show, which was like, it can be anything you want as long as it takes place before the first movie. So on the one hand, it was really fun. So it was like, cool, then we can explore, like, if the movie was kind of the history's first disaster movie, as how does this family survive this, the series kind of very quickly became like, oh, well, then what would be a family sitcom that would take place before all other things existed? Like, what would be the caveman variation on, like, the tropes we're used to? So that part was actually pretty freeing. The downside of being a prequel is they only invent fire in the movie, so we literally take place before the invention of fire. So just constantly our writer's room running like, wait, does this exist yet? Like, even just for words. Like, do they actually know the word street? Do we have to come up with a different way to get to that? Like, we can take nothing for granted.
Yeah, you got to always be looking back. It's like you have to make a Croods dictionary now for every term.
Yeah, we try to keep track of our world.
and a lot of the film was slapstick comedy heavy, really reminiscent of the Flintstones. Have you used elements of that classic show for some of the episodes of Dawn of the Croods?
Not too much. I mean, yes, in the sense that Flintstones is a very classic and justifiably classic and remembered family sitcom. So we're in the same genre there. However, we tried, because we're on TV as well, we want to differentiate ourselves. We want to make sure that we feel like our own thing. So what we try to do is, it is a little bit of sometimes asking ourselves, if the Flintstones was going to zig, then we will zag. And one of the big ways is, The Flintstones was very much a parody of modern culture, and it was like, oh, well, you can just transplant whatever's going on in 1960 right into the beginning of the Flintstones. We want to make sure we're taking the thinking it through of like, well, a caveman who's not familiar with anything, what would their reaction be? And really try to place it more of like in that mindset of you are seeing everything happening in the world for the first time.
Yeah, that's a good perspective, that is. And it's really challenging for many TV writers to keep things interesting as shows stay on the air for more and more years. What have you and your team amped up now for season two of Dawn of the Croods?
Thanks. Yeah, so if season one we really saw it's like, okay, this is our chance to establish what this other world is and flesh out the rest of the family, because the feature, you know, only having 90 minutes, really only got a chance to flesh out half of them. So for us, season one was fleshing out the rest of the family. Now we've kind of started to build up, like, they live in history's first suburbs, basically, and it's fleshing out the rest of the community and figuring out, like, what are the friendships, what is a workplace back then, and just trying to build out the world more so that we can have more fun. It basically, it's us trying to think ahead to, we know there will be more seasons, so, expand this world so that we have stories still to tell.
Alrighty, I'm going to name you a few people, and I want you to tell me about your experiences with working with these people. Because some of the voice actors you've had on, Dee Bradley Baker, who's a legend in the voice world.
Absolute legend, and so rightfully a legend. One of the greatest things ever with Dee is I love hearing him do creature voices, because you can write on the page the weirdest possible description. I think one thing recently was like, it was like a giant worm creature, and it's like bitterly scoffs about his relationship with his mother. And it's like giving that direction, but then how do we make a giant worm that can only do sounds convey that emotion? And you give that to Dee, and no joke, he nails it every time.
Yeah, that's fantastic. All right, Thomas Lennon.
Tom's awesome. He is amazing, and he is definitely one of the guys who we give almost no direction to. It's really just kind of fun. He comes up with reads that I would never have expected, so it's just kind of fun to toss a line to him and see how it comes back. He finds such great weird rhythms.
Yeah, he's so good on The Odd Couple, and he was on Sean Saves the World, which I thought he was really great on. He's a great actor. And, of course, I have to ask you about Jim Cummings, who we all know as Winnie the Pooh, but now on this show as well.
Yes, it's actually a little bit of a bummer. So our show in development, Jim's awesome, by the way. He was fantastic. It's basically a case of I wish we had more for him. He got hired for a character who originally, as the show was designed, we were going to have interstitial segments that were more just kind of not necessarily about the Croods family, but about the world in general, and Jim was going to be the narrator covering all of that. And it was a really nice idea. As the show went on, it was something that got cut after the first 5 episodes. It was disrupting the show in other ways. It's just what the concept wasn't working out. But Jim was amazing. So as a result, there's this very funny thing of the role he was hired for, unfortunately, all ended up on the editing room floor. However, he did, like, some various creature effects for us, and those made it in. So we basically have an insanely talented actor doing some chomping plant noises. He is amazing, and I only wish we got to use him more.
That's very funny. All right, now the DreamWorks Animation Film Division is currently working on The Croods 2. It's going to come out in 2018. Are you proud of the fact that the studio with this series and with The Croods 2 full steam ahead is devoting so much time and energy into this family of cavemen?
Yeah, I'm glad to see it's one of the franchises they're really getting behind, and they've been so supportive of our show, and the feature team has been awesome also, because it is... it's kind of nice that we're the prequel and they're the sequel, so we are in our own spaces, so it's just occasionally, we'll kind of float an idea up and be like, hey, do you mind if we do an episode, say, about, like, the spear? And we'll get back either, like, actually, that's not invented yet, or, like, oh, yeah, sure, run with it. So we'll bounce ideas off each other, make sure we're not stepping on each other's toes, but it's really nice that we're in our own separate spaces and everybody's been very supportive and enjoying everything. So, I hope this family keeps going. It's been a long time since Flintstones, so it's nice to see a more modern variation of what a caveman family could be. And these Croods have become dear to my heart, so it's nice to see them thriving.
Yeah, that's great. And so do you have any secrets, details, little things you can tell us about the Croods too? Maybe nobody else knows?
I wish I did. They, it's again, I I know the odds and ends of what we have been asked not to do, and I learned long ago from many other companies, never in any way ever cross a publicity or marketing department, so I dare not speak any of those names. Secrets.
Okay, that's fine, that's fine. All right, I got a couple more theme questions to you. When Jon Stewart left The Daily Show, how surprised were you when that announcement really took place?
Pretty surprised, actually. It's funny, because I happened to be talking to, I was still friends with some of the folks who worked there, and was talking to somebody like the day before it came down, and that's why my friend was even saying that. He's like, yeah, he's like, I know Jon's getting a little tired. He's like, but he'll hang around for another election season. And it was like the next day, like, all right, never mind, he won't. Mm-hmm. So it really, my assumption was he was going to make it through to the end of this year, that he'd see one more election through. So it was pretty abrupt. But it makes sense. I mean, he's been at the desk for, he was at the desk a long time, became an institution. I think he definitely hit the point of that. It's an exhausting job, that show. It's a great job. It's an amazing show. But, one of the best experiences of my life was working there. But it definitely, by the end of it for myself, trying just the workflow of coming in every day at like 8 in the morning to try to absorb the news and then come up with a show, write it, and produce it all by 5:30 that day, it's just exhausting. And then the other thing is, you become so entrenched in the news cycle, you are just angry so much of the day because you're just always taking in the next crazy thing that's going on and having to process it. And yeah, it's a really exhausting gig, so I'm honestly amazed and impressed that he lasted as long as he did.
All right. And then my last question for you is, we're just coming off of Chris Rock, who I thought did a great job with the Oscars, but it was the lowest ratings in 8 years. Who do you think should be the next Academy Awards host?
Good question, and I'm with you. I thought Rock actually did a great job. That's a really good question. You know what? I'm not sure. I'm trying to think. For the people who have been striking me funniest, it's like Key and Peele are two guys who really love movies based on their show. They can do, because their sketches themselves are very cinematic, and the fact that they love film comes through in so many of their stuff. That's the closest I can maybe think of off the top of my head.
Yeah, they do a lot of, with making fun of Liam Neeson. They call him Liam Neesons, and they do that.
I had that one Halloween episode that was, like, it really gave away that Jordan Peele's a big horror fan, because it was, like, really using, like, the tropes and all of that of horror. So it's like, I guess, yeah, they might be my pick off the top of my head. Or you know who else? Patton Oswalt. I don't think it's probably, would not be somebody who maybe the Academy would reach out to, but again, just somebody whose comedy is so pop culture and specifically film specific. And actually, Patton wrote a book about a year or so ago his love of movies, which is just a great non-comedic, but just a great read about being a about film and life and how you find kind of a film fandom and life balance. Which is very cool. It's Silver Screen Fiend, I think, was the name of the book. So yeah, he'd probably be a great pick if the Academy were to go in such a direction.
Yeah. I remember hearing about that book of Patton Oswalt's. And I'll tell you this about Keegan-Michael Key. I had the chance to meet him this year at the Critics' Choice Awards, and he was in Pitch Perfect 2 with Anna Kendrick, and he was in a scene with Snoop Dogg. Snoop Dogg had a cameo, and I asked him, what was it like working with Snoop Dogg? And he said, Snoop Dogg is the Elvis of our generation. And I thought that was an interesting statement to make.
I never would have thought of that, but yeah, that is pretty cool.
Yeah, it is. Well, Brendan, hey, this was a lot of fun talking with you. Thanks so much for doing this today.
Yeah, likewise. No, thank you so much for calling. I appreciate it.
You are welcome. All right, Dawn of the Croods Season 2 is available on Netflix from DreamWorks Animation. I'm Lates Camera Jackson with the LCJ Q&A.